If you had a Sunday school teacher who taught the gospel in such a way that some people criticized him, do you think he should quit? If you had an evangelist come to your church and he preached the gospel in such a way that some people in the community criticized him for the things he said, you might have an evangelist, for instance, who would say that if a man didn't accept Jesus Christ, he would go to hell. And then someone starts criticizing him and saying that he shouldn't talk about hell, shouldn't talk about things like that to people. You think that evangelist should quit? Now, this will come to your minds if you will look again in the book of Acts, chapter 14. We're going to be noticing what Barnabas and Paul were doing in the city of Iconium. In chapter 14. Now, yesterday in our study, in the first verse, we noticed that these men went into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake that a great multitude believed, both Jews and Greeks. And then in the second verse we saw that the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. I suppose you know what a mind evil affected is, do you? Do you have in mind that means that they aroused in the community prejudice against these preachers? You see, when your mind is evilly affected, you're just against it. You don't know why. You're just opposed to this man. You don't know why. We find that so much. We have people who will talk against certain things so much. My work, for instance, takes me at the present time. I'm working in a school that we call a seminary, and I'm seeking to help getting men ready for the gospel ministry. Now, we have people on the outside interested in the seminary. And when I go around over the country, people naturally talk about it. Now, we have in the seminary a number of students who come from our regular churches. They come from the churches that belong to our denomination, and they come from schools that belong to our denomination. And they're what you would call a regular student because they grew up in our church, they went to our schools, and have come from our schools to the seminary. Now, we have some others who are in our seminary who did not grow up in our church. They maybe grew up in some other denomination, and they did not go to our college or colleges. They went to some other school, and yet they have come to our seminary in order to prepare themselves for the ministry. And do you know that we have people, every now and again I come across them, who will say to me, I suppose you're having a real hard time with those students who come from outside the church. And I say, what makes you think that? Well, I would just naturally think, we just naturally would suppose that you've got people on the campus there that didn't go to our colleges, that didn't go to our universities, and they must be the source of a lot of trouble to you. And you know, there never has been one of us in the faculty that ever at any time ever has given the word out, so far as I know, that such men have ever caused us trouble. And everywhere I've gone, I've tried to tell it just happened so far under the providence of God. I've been in this particular school, this particular seminary, over 20 years, and I've not known of one time that a man who took his college work outside our church and then came to our seminary, not one time have I known one such man to give us any trouble. Now, we've had students who have given us trouble, but the students that have given us trouble have, as it happens, come right from our own schools. They've come right from our own colleges and our own churches. The only reason I'm mentioning this to you is that the idea is out. That's one thing, and I could give you many others. There will be people who will suggest to you that if a certain man has a certain view of Scripture, if he has a certain view of prophecy, well, that man must certainly give you a lot of trouble. As a matter of fact, they don't. But it is just thought that way. I'm using that as a sort of an illustration of this sort of thing, that, as I said to you in the last study, prejudice needs no evidence. You can just be against something without knowing why. You may just have in mind, well, I'm sure that would be a bad thing. Well, why are you so sure? And if you'll find out many, many times, you don't even know why. Well, that's because your mind was evil affected on the subject. Somebody inclined you to just think it must be wrong. And this notion, I suppose I could have used another illustration. I wonder if it would be all right for me to use an illustration like this. You know, there's some men just got a kind of a general idea that if the person driving a car is a woman, it's bound to be dead. Have you ever heard about that? Ever realized that some people just think that no woman can ever be a good car driver? Now, I'd like to ask you if your experience has been like mine, that generally speaking, when you ride along with a woman driver, you find that you get just as good a ride as you will with anybody else. They're just about like men. As far as that's concerned, you have good ones and you have bad ones. You have those who can and those who can't. But that doesn't overcome the prejudice. Now, with reference to the question I asked you, if in the preaching of the gospel you should have trouble arise in this way, that you have folks that criticize you, you bring in an evangelist, and the people criticize him because of what he teaches, and they arouse prejudice against him because of what he teaches, should he quit? Well, now, that Barnabas and Paul didn't. Notice in chapter 14, verse 3, long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, there was opposition. There was a prejudice against them. But they went right on boldly with their message, and God endorsed it with effect. He had brought things to pass. And by the way, that's the most powerful testimony you can possibly have, is when you have results. And now let us read on to verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. I wanted you to hear that. Wherever the gospel is preached, we'll have results. If the gospel is preached in faithfulness, there'll be results, and there'll be opposition. And you will find that the people who preach the gospel will produce results that are after the fashion of the works of God. And here, by the way, we see something of the significance of miracles. The Lord gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. When there is an effectiveness to the preaching of the gospel, it's God himself doing it, and God can do it for the effect it has upon other people. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. And I'm emphasizing that because I wanted to bring it across to you, just the general idea, that such a division can't be helped. And if you find that there are some people for and some people against, just be as quiet as you know how to be and be as careful as you know how to be, but don't be nervous about it and don't be depressed about it and don't get discouraged about it. That's just about what's going to happen. Part of the city held with the Jews who were opposed to these evangelists and part held with the apostles. I'm sorry, that's the way it's going to be. And that's no sign at all that we should stop. But now let us read further. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles, also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And what do you see there? You see that when the time came that there was going to be actual open conflict, these evangelists, these apostles, these missionaries, withdrew. They would preach, knowing that they weren't welcomed by some people. They would continue to teach, knowing they were being criticized. They would be bold in the work that they were doing, and they would produce results. But they kept an eye on the situation. When the time came that there would be an open conflict, they withdrew. They were aware of it, which is an old English way of saying, they knew the situation, they were conscious of the situation they were in, and they fled. Now, I know that there are some people who will be inclined to think that if you're right, you should just stick it out. No, why stick it out? What are you sticking out for in this particular case? Yourself? Well, don't do it. Yeah, this is what I think in military language we would call a strategic withdrawal. Because you know perfectly well Barnabas and Saul fled, but you know they weren't going to quit. They withdrew from that position. You know perfectly well they weren't giving up the battle. You see, it's not necessary to win every point. You can give in and give way at this point or that point to get a bigger thing across. And Barnabas and Paul withdrew at this time. They weren't going to quit. There were other places to preach. But they weren't going to waste themselves either in an unnecessary fight. This has a great deal of teaching in it for us, and I thought I would want to share it along with you so that you can feel it along in here. That when the time comes where there'd be an open break, these men pulled out. They didn't want to have any open break because that would disturb everybody. They went to another place, and there they preached the gospel. You don't need to think they quit. God has more than one situation in which to work. And he worked in that one situation as long as it was possible to do so in peace. And when it was no longer possible, he withdrew. Did you notice now you have here a very interesting and a very delicate balance? You're going to go on working in the face of opposition. You're going to go on working in the face of criticism. You will go on working in the face of prejudice. And you will ask the Lord to bless your work and make it effectual, even though you have people evil affected against you. But if anybody's going to come to the point of open controversy and make an open issue of it, there are many other places to go. Always keep that in mind. Now here is this whole passage, these first seven verses of chapter 14, gives us a general situation that we can look at. Remember how it started out. Barnabas and Paul went up together into the synagogue of the Jews to worship. They were coming to help these people understand about God. When they got their opportunity there, they spoke for the gospel. And they so spake that many believed. They were winning goodwill and winning the trust and the confidence of many people. Now opposition developed, and that opposition got bad, but they continued with their ministry, and in a bold fashion. But when the opposition would rise to the point of open conflict, they were aware of it and fled away, avoiding contention and controversy, if at all possible. Many lessons in here for you and for me to learn, but they all indicate how we can be led by the Lord. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to the preaching of the gospel amongst us, and grant that many people may believe it. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.